Give thanks to the Lord, for He is good. His love endures forever. Welcome to the weekly sermon podcast of the Cape Elizabeth Church of the Nazarene in Cape Elizabeth, Maine. Download more sermons or learn about the Cape Elizabeth Church of the Nazarene at our website, capenazarene.org. Here's this week's message.
My friends Tyler and Sojourney will be able to attest to this and tell you that this is an accurate statement, but I'm kind of a nerd. Tyler laughed a little too quickly on that one. And you guys kind of know that. You guys have heard me preach for 8 months or so. You guys have kind of picked up that I'm kind of nerdy at times. Well, one of my friends, Annie, a couple months ago, I sent her something to which she responded, "You are such a nerd." I was watching YouTube videos and I came across this channel called Vsauce. It's this guy that basically explains all these really crazy things. I probably spent 4 hours watching these videos, just because I'm that way, I guess. But one that really stuck with me, and that has just captivated me, and I find amazing, and I don't understand it whatsoever, was this video that he did that was on infinity. And so as a little kid, and by that I mean pretty much up until a few months ago, I thought infinity was the biggest thing there could be. What is more than infinite? Infinite is infinite. How can you have anything more than that? But so he started talking and he started describing about how infinity in mathematics is often called Aleph Null. And I was like, oh, well, that's cool. That sounds nerdy. And it's Hebrew. I was like, I like it. And basically what he said was, in this sequence of Aleph Null, in this infinity, are all the numbers that can be and ever will be and are. And so I thought I knew big numbers, you know, because there's a million, a billion, a trillion, quadrillion, centillion, heptillion, septillion, octillion, nuptillion, dectillion, Google, a Googleplex. And they keep getting bigger and bigger, and I'm like, I know some big numbers. And he crushed all of that, because he was like, yeah, there's infinity, and all of those numbers fall within infinity. But then this is the part that really blew my mind, and that I'm still struggling to understand, and I think I sort of get it, but I need more mathematical friends to help me understand it better. There is an infinity bigger than infinity. There are different sizes of infinity, which I don't understand because infinity is infinite. But apparently there is bigger infinities than infinite. Because what he was saying was that there are power sets. And so there's a power set of Aleph Null. And so what a power set is like if you take the number 1 and 2 and you put them in a power set, you end up with 3 numbers. You can end up with 1. You can end up with 2, or you can end up with 1 and 2. You can do that with 1, 2, and 3, and you end up with 8 numbers because you can get 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 2, 3, 1, 3, 1, 2, 3, or I lost count. But you can end up with 8 different brackets, and so that's larger than the first set. And you can do that with all the numbers of infinity, which then has to be bigger than the original infinity. So we get Aleph 1, and you can do that with Aleph 1, and you get Aleph 2, and it continues on like this, and it blew my mind, because I can't even really imagine a million people, or the number a million. I can't think of a million anything, and this guy is explaining how mathematically we can have more than an infinite number of things, and my brain still hurts trying to think about it, and this was months ago. And so I say all that, and if you're interested at all, it's a really cool video, and he explains it much better than I do, and it's just, it's crazy. But I say all that because I was shocked to learn that there was something bigger than the infinite. There was something bigger than infinity, and that there were multiple infinities, and they got bigger and bigger. and that it was so much bigger than I could have ever imagined. All right, so why did I nerd out right there for a few minutes? Well, I tell you this because I imagine the way I felt watching that YouTube video that night must have been pretty similar to how John's hearers felt when they heard this passage. We hear that there are 144,000 that would be marked. We have 12 groups of 12,000. And so 12 was a holy number in Scripture. We see that with the calling of the 12 disciples and how even after Judas left, they had to replace him so that it would be a complete set. We see that with the tribes of Israel. There was 12 of them. In Scripture and in this time in the Hebraic mindset, the number 1,000 just meant large. Kind of like if I say, what, I don't know, if I can say I have 1,000,000 followers on Twitter. It doesn't necessarily mean I have exactly 1,000,000. It just means I have a lot. Or my little sister the other day when she texted me and was like, it feels like 1,000,000 degrees out here. Well, does it actually feel like 1,000,000 degrees? No, but it feels really hot. It feels like a lot of degrees. And so when they would have heard this number, they would have heard this unbelievably large number because it didn't necessarily mean 144,000 precisely, but that it just gave them this picture of this really large group. In fact, they probably would have imagined this as almost infinite, if you would. Maybe they would have looked at this and been, oh, maybe that's even a little bigger than infinity. And so there's 144,000 that are sealed, they're told. This is an important thing because being sealed meant that they were marked as the lambs. This means they are under his protection and that they are dedicated to following the lamb and following his way. This seal lets them all know something about them. So yesterday, Kirsten, one of my good friends, gave me this shirt. We had to reorder more shirts so that the staff could get them. And on it came this sticker. So it was like right there was where the sticker was. And she was like, here, Brent, you get the one with the sticker. And I'm like, awesome. I'm glad I remembered because I actually texted Tyler last night saying, hey, you have a kid. Do you have any stickers I can use? And he said, no. And so I was really glad that I remembered this. And so this is a sticker, and it says, well, I probably should have read it before I put it on, handcrafted and earth-friendly. We only use eco-friendly ingredients to bring your creation to life. It says something. It tells the buyer something about this shirt. When you look at this seal, you know that this shirt was made in environmentally friendly ways and that the company is doing their best to be eco-friendly. We know this because of the seal that they put on it. This was their stamp that, yes, this is eco-friendly. It tells us something about the thing that is being sealed. And we see this right after John tells us about this huge number. Here's this huge number, and they are sealed and marked as being for Christ and dedicated to Christ. Now, if you've been listening the last several weeks, you will know that the book of Revelation does not need to be taken all literally. Much of it is symbolic and used as metaphor. And so there is no need to take the number 144,000 literally. There's a group of people, and I won't name them because I don't want to be that guy, but there's a group that they believe that there are 144,000 only that'll be saved, which is really funny because they have had more than 144,000 members since their creation, which is kind of like, well, how do you guys get to pick who's in and who's out? But so it's not a literal number. It's symbolic, and it means something much more. And so we see John had just said there were 144,000 who would be protected by the Lamb and following in his way. But now we get to see what John really means. And I felt kind of bad for Jerry as he was reading the list, 12,000 from Naphtali, 12,000 from Benjamin, 12,000 from Reuben. Then for John to say, there was a great multitude. It's like, couldn't you just kind of get to that point? Like, did you really make us like have to hear all these repetitive of 12,000 and 12,000 and 12,000 just to finally get to the point where he says, it's a great multitude in which no one can count. This sort of helps us see why we can't take it literally, because it might take me a while, but I can count to 144,000. And John tells us it is a multitude so great that no one could count it. There's far too many. It's kind of like Aleph 1 or Aleph 2, and that it's so much bigger than we could ever imagine. He then goes to say this great multitude which no one can count. These symbolic 144,000 that just represents the largest number that he could symbolically create. These people, they come from every nation and tribe and people and language. And I don't remember if it was last week or the week before or before that, but at some point within the last couple of weeks, I mentioned what this phrase means. Every nation, tribe, people, and language. It's symbolic to mean the whole world. The complete group, as many as will come, and that it meant all sorts of people. It meant it was pretty all-encompassing, that anybody could come join this crowd, this great multitude. As I think about it and as I read it, I can't help but just constantly think of this grace of God. It's just so unbelievably awesome. In the purest meaning of the word awesome, that it causes awe. That as I read about how under the protection of the Lamb, and the Lamb will put his seal on anybody that comes to receive it. Anybody that walks up can receive the seal of the Lamb. That is the grace of this awesome God that we serve. And I think John is telling us, and I think John is inviting us, and I think John is trying to get it through to his readers that we are invited to join in the multitude of those that are wearing the white robes while waving the palm branches. Now again, those two things mean something. The white robes, which had been made clean by the blood of the Lamb, represents the servant of Christ who bore witness to the Lamb. Palm branches, as if we recall on Palm Sunday, palm branches meant peace, and they meant victory, and they meant that we have conquered and that we are now in peace. These are the servants of the Lamb who have found the peace of Christ. Now, I consider today, it was kind of a funny debate going on in my head. I was like, do I look really formal and wear my alb today because it is a white robe? Or do I look like a bum that just rolled out of bed and wear my NYI t-shirt? And it was kind of a debate, but because it was kind of warm, the t-shirt won out. But you all have seen me in my alb before. It's just a simple white robe. And I've told you the reason why I wear it at times. And part of it is for this very reason. It's a reminder to me, and it's a reminder to others, that I'm called to be a servant of Christ. That I'm called to bear witness to the Lamb that is seated on the throne. That simple garment calls to mind who I am to be. But I'll let you in on a little secret. I'm not the only one that's allowed to wear an alb. In the church, we believe that this is a garment that is not reserved for pastors or for priests, but rather this is a garment that is reserved for anyone who calls themselves a servant of God. Anyone can put on the white robe, and anyone can wave the palm branches, and anyone can bear witness to the resurrected Christ and to the Lamb that conquers not through violence, but through self-sacrificial love. When we put on that uniform, when we put on that white robe, it symbolizes that we have been made victorious through the sacrificial love of Christ. As I think about it, I know I'm calling Tyler out a lot today, but he's here and he's not normally here, and I haven't seen him in a while, so I'm going to do it. Tyler, as a Salvationist and soon-to-be officer, wears a uniform. They're like navy blue pants and a white button down, and they have not lapels. What are they called?
Epaulets.
That's what they are. And they have them, and they have an S marked on them. And depending on which Salvationist you talk to, I've heard they mean different things. But primarily, I hear that they mean save to save. And I think there's a few other things that you guys wear sometimes too that I don't know all about. But the reason he wears those is so that when he's out in the community, that people know that he is a part of the Salvation Army, that he is marked by his uniform. That's the same thing that's going on here. Those wearing the white robes are marked by their uniform. When Tyler or Sojourney or any of my other friends that are in the Salvation Army walk down the street in their uniform, I can instantly tell they're a part of that. They're a part of the Salvation Army. And in the book of Revelation, when we see the white robes, we can look at them and say, those are part of Christ's following. Those are the ones that bear witness to Christ and who have followed the Lamb and have followed his way. These are the ones that have conquered because Christ has conquered. These are the ones that are living into radical love. But here's the cool thing. At least I think it's cool. Not only are we invited to wear the garments, not only are we invited to wave the palm branches, we are told that it is a number that we cannot count, that it is an immeasurable multitude. And although it doesn't specifically say it, I think it's okay for me to say this. I think what John might be wanting us to get at is, it's okay for you to go out and tell others they can join in with us. It's okay to invite others to put on the garment and to wave the branches of peace. It is okay to tell others to go out and join this great body of servants. It's not just for a select few. This seal, this stamp of love from God and the Lamb, is for all and anyone that'll come and receive it. This week at camp, on Friday, there was a time of confession in which the teens could go up to the staff and they could just talk to us about whatever was going on, to which they would then hear the words, "You are forgiven." And so we did that on Friday. And yesterday, before we received Eucharist together, one of the things we had them do was normally here we'll say, "May the peace of Christ be with you and also with you." We changed it a little bit yesterday for them, in which we had them go up to one another and say to each other, "Remember, you are forgiven." And to which they would look back at each other and say, "And so are you." And I think that's what John's calling us to here. You're invited to wear the white robe. You're invited to be a conqueror with Christ, and so are you. So God's grace is indeed of great, immeasurable multitude. The question is, who can receive God's grace and protection? And the answer is simple: all who would come. Salvation belongs to our God, and he has chosen to bestow it abundantly. And so we join in John and the great multitude and the book of Revelation as they say, Amen. Praise and glory and wisdom and thanks and honor and power and strength be to our God forever and ever. Amen.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn His face toward you and give you peace. Amen. Thank you for joining us for this sermon podcast. We hope that the message has inspired you to draw closer to God each day. May God bless you as you serve Him today.